In a few moments, we will take you inside a life. The window, a simple diary.
This is like the follow-up. Fast forward, and it's been so long now. It's been 20 years that I've been here in this country legally. That's got to be a record or something. I got to check with Guinness and see if that's a record or not.
Juan started recording a diary as a teenager decades ago. He's back as part of a radio diary series full of wisdom and history and just the dramatic universal story of one person growing up. Joe Richman and Radio Diaries Revisited. But first, let's think about the idea of talking to ourselves. Is there a diary of thought in all of our minds every waking moment of the day? Anthropologist Andrew Irving believes that there is, and he set out to try and capture thoughts becoming words and then thought diaries in his project New York Stories, The Lives of Other Citizens. Irving attempts to map those inner thoughts of ordinary people by following a handful of New York City residents as they wandered the streets talking into a microphone while Irving filmed them. Andrew Irving is anthropology professor at the University of Manchester. He simply approached strangers, asked them if they would allow him to peer into their minds as they walk through the city.
Well, the project's very simple in many ways, and it's a question that probably most people think about when they're out in the streets, which is, you know, what are other people thinking? And in some ways, we're all anthropologists because we're always reading other people, always trying to understand them. And whereas modernist literature, you know, the great writers of Joyce and Dos Passos and people like that, have been very good at entering into people's minds and trying to extract out the processes of thinking. Scientists have been very bad at it. Often it takes place in laboratories rather than the lived conditions in which people are living. And so the idea behind this was really very simple. And it's the idea that, you know, you're walking down a street, there's five people walking down a street, and we have no idea what they're thinking. You know, maybe one person's thinking, did I leave the front door open? Another person's fantasizing about an actor they saw in a film last night. And the next person's dealing with a fundamental existential dilemma. You know, perhaps they've just lost their job, or they're thinking of splitting up with their partner, or they're on the way to the hospital to pick up some results which may change their life. And so in a single street, we have pretty much all that life has to offer on display, right from the trivial, somebody thinking about, you know, what shoes to wear that night, to the tragic, somebody who's just lost a friend. We see that spectrum of social life. And so in terms of the process, what I'd do is I'd locate myself in a particular part of the city. One of my favorite spots was Broadway and Houston. And I'd stand at Broadway and Houston, and as people approached me, I'd say, excuse me, do you mind if I ask you a quick question? It might seem like a strange question, but can I ask you what you were thinking in that moment before I stopped you? And the person would say, well, you know, I was thinking of splitting up with my girlfriend, or I was thinking about what food to buy tonight or whatever. And I'd say, well, this may seem like an even stranger question, but can you just do whatever you're going to do anyway, only I'll put a small microphone on and you speak out loud the stream of your thoughts as they come to you. And I was really surprised about the amount of people who said yes. And so I collected probably over 100 of these.
Well, let's climb into some of these folks' minds here as you've attempted to create a bit of a scaffold that allows you to enter into a place that we otherwise would never go. Here's a woman by the name of Meredith.
You know, I thought she was going to tell me that her cat died. I was prepared to cry about her cat. And then I'm trying not to cry about her. I mean, New York without Joan is just, I can't even imagine it.
A very emotional moment there for one of your subjects. Now, who is she speaking to there? You walking behind her, or is she speaking to herself?
She's speaking to herself. I'm about 10 yards behind because, you know, we have often these random thoughts which are not socially acceptable and so forth. And when you utter them in public, it breaks one of the fundamental social contracts about how we engage with each other in public places.
You know, I often see people in New York, and for years since I've lived here, walking down the street, talking to themselves, sometimes sounding a little bit angry. Nowadays with cell phones, everyone's talking to someone, but I sometimes feel that I know this fellow here. I think I've walked by him before. Listen.
I understand the thing about not telling everybody. But I'm not everybody. You two are having a baby. A phone call would have been good.
All right. He's a fellow named Tony in Chelsea. He's obviously angry. We just heard from Meredith as well. What's the anthropological value of these voices and these statements and these moments?
So the anthropological value is that anthropology so far has only really been telling half the story of social life, which is the public story. And so the idea behind this is to think about those things that are not observable, the way in which all social life is mediated by ongoing streams of consciousness, you know, reverie, memory, random urges, unarticulated, half-finished thoughts and moods. And sometimes we wake up in the morning and we're aware of something. It's on the periphery of our consciousness. We can't quite locate it and we don't know what's wrong with us. And gradually, as the day wears on, that thought starts coming into language. And then we're thinking, ah, that's why it is, and things like that.
Andrew Irving, anthropology professor at the University of Manchester. Coming up, intentional thoughts from some people you may have met on the radio years ago.
I have a brand new baby boy, 7 pounds. His name is Isaiah Seto. And we would have recorded the birth, but it happened so fast. I'm sorry you couldn't hear all the pain, but it was easy. I was so young. You know, when I was 18, I just thought you gave birth to a cute little kid and everybody was going to love him. You was going to love him. He was going to be healthy and all that good stuff. And that's how you think when you're young, that if you give them love, that's all they need. You never think about what could possibly happen.
Melissa Rodriguez and the Wisdom of Teenage Diaries, coming up.